Father. And the Apostle Paul picked that up, didn't he? And he says in Galatians 4:6, because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. And so if you invited Christ into your life this morning, the Holy Spirit comes in and something stirs and you go, oh, God, you do care for me. We grow in that expression of Abba, child relationship. Prayer is personal because God became like us, but without our sin. And Jesus took on our flesh and blood to break the power of that sin and cancel the distance between God and us. Here's what Scripture says. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. So Jesus represents God's presence, and in fact is a priest, the perfect priest, with us. So he says this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. When do you need it most? We often need to confess sometimes something we've said, done. Maybe we need to confess something to one another. We need to confess things to God. There are also times when we need to confess to God that we're just not doing well. We need to be transparent with him. Confession is openly declaring the truth, being honest. Reggie McNeil shares a note that someone gave him, a friend of his he was trying to help. And I'll read just part of the note. It said, Dear Lord, I'm so tired. My strength is completely gone, and so is my desire to continue on. My resources are spent, and all that remains is an empty, dry, shriveled shell of a man. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm tired of giving to people who are never satisfied. I'm tired of pouring the best that I have to offer into people's lives, only to have them demand more and become angry when it's not provided. McNeil said that kind of gut-level honesty was the beginning of this man's healing, when he began to just pour out his heart to God and say, boy, I'm done. And that kind of confession is important too. Where you pour it out to the Lord. He's very personal. And prayer is personal. The path to prayer, to healing prayer, involves confession. So I want you to pray like a servant warrior. Pray with boldness like a servant warrior, like a loved child of God. And whether you don't feel like it or whether you do, pray like a servant warrior. Come into the throne room. It's personal. God has become like us, yet without sin, in order to break the barrier. Pray like a servant warrior. And prayer is persistent. It's persistent. It says Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. And then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Human as we are. Elijah. No superhuman power. Like you and me. Elijah. The prophet. A whole lot of looming imagination had grown up around Elijah. And so the people hearing this or reading this letter from James, to compare themselves to Elijah would be a bit like a child being compared to an Olympic gold medalist in the half pipe. Have you seen what those people can do? Incredible. But that would have been sort of the stretch between Elijah and how they saw themselves and perhaps how we see ourselves. But leveling up with Elijah does two things in our lives. Number one, it declares the dignity and the wholeness we have in God, our Creator and Redeemer. You are created and complete through Christ. Remember that? You're kind of a big deal. You are created and complete through Christ. The second thing it does, it adds to us this remarkable responsibility of holding up one another in prayer in a powerful way. It delegates to us, to each of us, this remarkable, profound responsibility of spiritual and physical well-being through prayer. God is telling us we have the same potency in prayer he expressed through Elijah. Pray like a servant warrior. And Elijah understood well this whole thing of persistence. And that's one of the reasons why James refers to him here. He had prayed, actually declared in prayer, that there be no rain for 3.5 years. It was God's voice coming through him because the people were so rebellious against anything God wanted. And so he makes this declaration in prayer. And then, 3.5 years later, you know the story, he has this contest on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, 450-1, and God demonstrated his power and that Baal was a myth. And so after this contest is over and God has proven his power, Elijah goes to the summit of Carmel and he starts to pray for rain. And there's not a cloud in the sky. Beautiful summer day, no clouds, and Elijah starts praying for rain. And he said he has a servant, a worker with him, and he keeps sending this guy out to check the sky over the sea. He says, go see if there are any clouds. And 7 times, the guy goes back and forth. And finally, the 7th time, as Elijah has his head between his knees and he's praying and he's asking God for rain, the servant says, you know, there is a cloud. It's about the size of your hand. And Elijah says, okay, we got to get to town. And he tells King Ahab, who was the ungodly, prophet-hating king, you better get in your chariot, boss, and get to town quickly before you get swamped by the coming storm. And Elijah tucks his robe up into his belt, and he outruns the chariot by God's power all the way to town. And the rain hits, and it's a deluge because God heard. He prayed 7 times, and Elijah was like you and me. Earlier, that story is in 1 Kings 18. In the chapter before that, in 1 Kings 17, it tells of how Elijah was living in an upstairs room above this house where a widow and her young son lived. And there was famine and drought in the land, and God was just providing for them miraculously. But her son grew sick and died. And Elijah comes to the house, and she's pretty upset, understandably. And she said, did you come here to judge me and take the life of my son? And he takes the boy's lifeless body, and sets him on the bed. And Elijah does something that we don't expect from a God-fearing, mighty prophet. He asks God, why? Why does this happen? So much for the noble faith that never asks why. That may not be a scriptural idea, by the way. Elijah says, why, God? But then, 3 times, he stretched himself out over the boy's body, and he said, oh, Lord, please return the life of this child. Please return this child's life. And after the 3rd time, the child stirred, the boy came back to life, and he took him and presented him back to his mom. At that point, she says, now I know you're a prophet of God. Yep. That was convincing. Three times he asked, and Elijah was like you. Pray like a servant warrior. So we pray with persistence because prayer is personal. God knows you. You know him. You pray with persistence. We have these audacious promises from the Lord Jesus who is present. He said, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. And Jesus promised his disciples, you haven't done this before. Ask using my name and you will receive and you will have abundant joy. Based on his authority, Jesus said that his believers, his disciples, even if you have faith as tiny as a mustard seed and it's really small, you can say to this mountain, get lost, and it will move. He was teaching this in the context in Matthew 17:20 of actually confronting demonic spirits and telling them to get lost. And then he said, nothing will be impossible. Well, a variation of prayer that's persistent is speaking to the mountain for God, not just speaking to God about the mountain. Tell this mountain to go and it will go. When a Roman officer sent a delegation to Jesus and said, look, my dear servant is sick. Could you heal him? And he sent the message saying, look, I know you have authority. I've got authority. I tell someone to do this. He does it. I say, go there, and they go there. And Jesus said, I haven't seen faith like this Roman officer has in all of Israel. And the delegation went back, and sure enough, the servant was healed by the authority of Jesus. You pray like a servant warrior, like a child of God. Richard Foster shares an interesting example. He said his infant son used to have horrible ear infections. They would be up all night carrying the child, trying to comfort the poor little guy. He was in pain. And one night after Foster said, I prayed every prayer I knew to pray, and nothing worked. It was 4 a.m. after pacing and holding the little guy's ear against my shoulder to try and get some relief for him. Nothing helped. I was tired. I was frustrated. And suddenly, he said, I was struck with the notion that I should speak directly to the ear infection. And so he quietly addressed the pain, and he said, thank you for letting us know that there is an infection in Joel's ear. We are providing the best medical attention for it we can. We have received the message, and so you do not need to keep sending pain signals to his ear. So in Jesus' name, stop it now. And instantly, the baby stopped crying, laid his head on his daddy's shoulders, and fell asleep. And the infection was gone. As a child, I used to suffer intense sinus headaches. So bad, I would just be beside myself in pain. And one Sunday morning, one of these hit me in church. I don't remember how old I was. I was preteen. And my mom whisked me away to a friend's house. We lived 40 miles, 65, 70 kilometers from church, so you couldn't just run home. And went to this friend's home, and I lay in the bed just writhing in pain, and I remember distinctly her pacing the hallway back and forth, praying quietly but forcefully for my healing. It took some time, and then all of a sudden, bam, it broke. The pain just stopped. And I sat up, and I was better. And I've never had a recurrence of that severe, debilitating sinus pain. She prayed like a servant warrior. Didn't yell. God doesn't need us to yell. He hears everything. When one of our children was under a year old, as was his personality, he was just gaining his legs. And one night, he decided to grab the crib rail and bounce on the mattress. And he bounced himself so hard that he flew out of the crib banged his little forehead on a wooden shelf on the way to the floor. He instantly had this immense goose egg on his forehead, and no medical help immediately available. We prayed over him for healing. By morning, all he had on his head was the slightest mark, and he was fine. You pray like a servant warrior parent sometimes, don't you? One night, I was having a root canal years ago, and it was going badly. And one night, I woke up during, in the middle of this, it was a several-step procedure. Things have improved in procedures. But I woke up in such pain, I had the comforter in my mouth, and I was kind of groaning. How to freak out your wife, right? You're eating the blankets, and it was so bad, we decided to call the elders, but they lived quite a ways away, and so she quietly but forcefully prayed for me, and the pain broke. Pray like a servant warrior. Other times, God has had other purposes. When one of our kids contracted bacterial spinal meningitis, and we almost lost him, and he was semi-comatose and in the hospital for 14 days, and it was a rather unnerving time. We cried out to God. He was not healed right away. However, we learned later, my father told us, before he got sick, I had this vision of him debilitated and lifeless in the hospital, and I began to pray. He began to pray for his grandson's safety. And it took a long time, but he recovered, and God cared, but we went through a whole lot of things that I can't even share. But you still pray like a servant warrior. We faced another physical health issue, which we shared and received prayer for, prayer ministry for. We believed, we prayed, we grew. We did not experience healing. God sustained us until we found the right medical help. And we were condemned by a few for not being healed. I tell you, when you go for prayer for healing and you're not healed, condemnation is worse than the condition. Well-meaning, but misdirected. See, even those who have the gifts of healing aren't in control of that. It is God who heals, and God alone. And he decides. Discernment needs to be combined with prayer. I like what Doug Balzer, in his very helpful book, Light Up the Dark. It's a great book on deliverance ministry and healing. He wrote this when he emphasizes God's healing power. He said, "I am repulsed when I hear stories of Christians condemning others when healing does not occur. After my infant daughter's death, someone told me that her death was my fault, that she had died because of my sin. The Holy Spirit does bring conviction when necessary, but only to bring a person to repentance and not toward condemnation. I suspect those who condemn others in prayer are wrestling with their own insecurities. When answered prayer doesn't happen, they resort to blaming." Foster again tells us a story about his friend Derek, who was on his way to the hospital to visit a friend of his, and his friend was dying. He was in his last days. Derek was riding the elevator up to this floor to visit his friend with the idea that he would go into the room and tell the illness to go in Jesus' name. Nothing wrong with that. Everything right about that. But as he got to the room, his friend was asleep. And so he went to the foot of the bed and he prayed, "Lord, how should I pray today for my friend?" And he got this strong impression in his heart that he wasn't there to pray, but just to visit, just to love his friend. And so he went and touched him on the shoulder and awakened him. And he said to his friend, you know, good morning, I just came to see you for a bit. And his friend said this, weakly but gratefully, I'm so glad. Everybody's been coming in and laying their hands on me and trying to make me well. All I want to do is go home to heaven. And I was hoping someone would come and just visit me. So we speak the command of faith under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And in prayer. And we pray with quiet aggression. In Jesus' name. Now sometimes we'll struggle with that statement. Well, how do we know when? How do we know? It takes practice. Discernment involves practice and doing. And you never do unless you practice, right? We learn as we learn to listen. But here's the default that I believe is absolutely is a bad word, is best. Always pray as a servant warrior. Always stop and ask first, Lord, how should I pray? Learn the skill of listening. If there's some urgency, some impression that's different than what you were going to do, pay attention to that. But pray earnestly with faith as a servant warrior in the name of Jesus Christ. The error is if we just see God as a function and prayer as a formula that if you do it just right, he has to do what you say. That makes God into nothing more than an algorithm. No, prayer is personal and it is persistent. So we engage as servant warriors in prayer. By faith, personally, persistently, with our Heavenly Father who loves us so deeply, and it involves confession of sin where that's appropriate and necessary. And we're authorized to represent him and speak to the mountain for God instead of always speaking to God about the mountain. Pray like a servant warrior. Right now, we're going to practice our school of prayer this way. We'll have our worship team come to prepare for our closing song, but this is our school of prayer today. And there will be an opportunity if you want to come forward for prayer. We'll invite you to do that. And during the last song, I'll invite you to come, elders to come, prayer ministry folks to come. If you have something you want us to pray for you and maybe it's healing, maybe it's something else. But right now, for all of us, here's our school of prayer. Let's take a moment and let's seek the Lord together. And I invite you to bring to the Lord that which is too much for you to impact. Elijah couldn't change the weather. He was a man, he was human, just like us. He had no power to do that. And you and I have no power to do that. But prayer is personal and powerful. And we're servant warriors in Jesus' name. So what is it? Bring it. Bring it and come to the mountain. Speak to the mountain for God in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, move our hearts to be servant warriors. Give wisdom and discernment. Come in your power.